Welcome to Sunshine Sisters, an interview segment focusing on the women making an impact in St. Petersburg today. I'm Karen Carmichael. My guest today is Fela Rosa. Fela is a career growth and leadership coach who moved here to downtown St. Petersburg from Germany 2 years ago. Fela, welcome to Sunshine Sisters.
Welcome, Karen. Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit what it was like. I'm assuming you grew up in Germany.
Yes, completely.
Right. What was it like to grow up there?
What was it like? So I grew up in the south of Germany, in the Stuttgart area. So there's a lot of industry and things there. What is it like in comparison to here, I guess? I don't think it's that big of a difference. I mean, small families, you know, I have one brother growing up with my parents. My grandparents were living in the same house. So I always had the advantage of being able to talk to everybody and have a lot of people around me. And yeah, you know, a lot of playing, learning, going to school. I was going to athletics and playing the flute, you know, the normal stuff that children do, really. Nothing really crazy special about it, I would say.
What inspired you to move to St. Petersburg and then get involved here?
Yeah. Originally, I came here for a work trip. And my husband is French, so we always looked a little bit around. We were always intrigued to moving to another country together. And since I was here on a work trip, he joined me afterwards so that we could go on a little vacation. But in the back of our heads, we were already checking it out a little bit. So, and the very last day, actually, of the trip, a work colleague told me to go to St. Pete because the work was in Tampa. So we weren't really, you know, experiencing St. Pete that much. And we went to the pier, and it was really, I mean, I fell in love. I cannot say differently. I had this jump of my heart, and I was like, I never had that ever before in my entire life. So I'm like, this is a sign. We wanted to go somewhere anyway, so I make everything happen inside the company to be able to come here on a visa, right? Because it's not that easy to come live and work in the U.S. So it was like a 9-month process and like battling all the fronts. And yeah, 9 months later, we came here and we found a nice spot in downtown and we've stayed here ever since. And we don't want to go anywhere else.
But there must be some challenges that you've identified for our city. So do you think, what would you think is the biggest challenge for St. Pete moving forward?
So I have no idea about city planning or whatsoever, but me as just a person, just a resident living here, I'm a little bit worried about the intimacy of this space because I just love St. Pete for the people. I love the mix of business and spirituality and all of the things coming together. For me, it seems like a big melting pot, but then the growth is so tremendous. All these new apartments being built. I'm like, I don't know, you know, is the pier going to be the same way it used to be? Is the Vinoy Park going to be the same way it used to be? Because there are already a lot of people there, and I love it. But what if we double the amount of people? Is it still going to be nice hanging out, or is it going to be just very crowded, basically New York City style a little bit? That's what I'm worried about.
I hear that a lot when I speak to people just randomly, not even just here in these interviews, but just like folks bring up the fact that we're growing at such a great pace.
Yes.
And is there going to be enough resources, right? Is there going to be enough basic infrastructure?
Yes.
All of those things are on people's minds.
I mean, it's just so hard to imagine. It's just a very human experience, right? Big numbers are hard to imagine. So when you see downtown, huge buildings with I don't know how many hundreds of apartments units, you're like, I cannot imagine how it will be like once they all move here. But at the same time, I also want to add to that, I come from a city originally where I went to school that was in decline. So there was no growth. And I can guarantee you want to live in a growth environment. It's so much nicer. People are bullish, right? They want to buy something here. They want to settle here. They want to invest. New businesses are popping up everywhere. And this is just also a very positive part of the growth that I don't want to leave out, right? I love being in this growth environment. The people have just a whole different mindset and mentality to it.
As a career growth and leadership coach, has that always been the focus of what you do?
That's a good question. So I've been obviously working in corporate or in the professional world myself up until last year. No, now it's been, a little bit than a year ago. I started my own business. But I've really been doing the work that I'm now doing professionally for quite a bit longer. So I would say the whole deal about this is, if I can give a really short summary, it's like I was always very motivated. My family was not a business-driven family, not a money-driven family. So I think naturally I studied business. I studied international business. I wanted to see what else is there. And so I was in the corporate world or like in the professional world, not necessarily a corporation to begin with. then I was super motivated. I was like, how can I make this happen, right? How can I grow? How can I climb this ladder? And I was devastated because it was so long, like, it, you know, for a young person, 2 years in the same position seems forever. So in my spare time, I was learning everything I could. I was reading books about communication and negotiation. How do you need to show up? Like, what is it to this, to make it advance quicker, right? So I was like really focused on that, and I loved it because I just love, as I said, the growth environment is something I like and I love to experience myself. And then I was in a leadership position not too long after, like 5 years after I had my first team and everything. And that's when I learned that there's so much more to it than just what we see on the outside. There's so much more to dressing up like a leader and speaking like a leader. There's an inner part to it as well. And I really just stumbled into that on my free time to do some of the, you know, healing and all of these inner work things. And then figured out that this is actually what makes a big, big difference in leadership, really. If people are unshakable and you're only unshakable on the inside and stay with a clear head, no matter how many insecurities and changes are happening on the outside, and making sure you make the right decisions, that you stay aligned with your values, that you can look yourself in the mirror every evening and stay proud of who you are, what you did that day, and how you did it as well. And yeah, that's basically, so I figured it out doing it myself without really knowing why I was doing it. I was just curious. And then putting it together with the corporate world I was working in every single day, and seeing like people were struggling on all levels, really. And then just putting one-on-one together, and was like, that is actually what I could experience, what the great leaders were doing differently than the not so great leaders. And yeah, and then I was, basically, I found my mission, I think, there. So that's what I do now.
Wrapped into that, what's an accomplishment that you're proud of? If you could name, like, one thing.
One thing. Okay. One accomplishment that basically nobody told me is to debunk some career myths for myself. So, for instance, I was younger, a little bit younger, not too much, but when I was like starting off or in mid-management level, I thought, oh, don't get me started with values. People that talk about values at work, they're the ones that are not ambitious. And for me, it sounded like an excuse to not work as hard, to go home early, basically, right? And so I think one of my big accomplishments is that I figured out myself, actually, that's not how it goes, because values could be anything. So again, once I did my work, I figured out, actually, I love growth so much. Growth is my second highest value. And my first highest is family, and then directly growth. And afterwards, it's like security and then having fun. So I figured out values can mean you're super ambitious. And I am relentless. Like, when I want to do something, I do it. I do it on the weekends. I got up this morning at 6 a.m. to work before my husband has to go to work. I do all these things, but I love it because it's part of who I am. It's part of my values. So basically, I debunked that for myself, and now I sometimes write it on LinkedIn. I'm like, if you think you're living according to your values is like taking it slow, you don't understand what it means. So I'm pretty proud of being able to live through things and then take another perspective, some kind of meta perspective to it, and then putting stuff together. And now I get it. And then I apply it for myself first. So I'm basically the guinea pig. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. And then I look around me, look at other people, like, trying to see, do they live according to that or do they not? And are they successful or are they not? And I think that is something overall that I'm super proud of, to have figured these things out on my own and now being able to really help people with that as well.
So you're so self-motivated.
Yes.
Do you have a mentor?
That is a good question. So I would rather say I have a board of directors. I have many different people from very different aspects of life, and I don't always do it because obviously it takes a lot of time. But if there's important stuff coming up, I like to talk to very different people. So I have a close friend of mine who's a very successful entrepreneur. I have a friend or a former colleague who's now a C-level executive. And then I also have my husband who supports me on whole different fronts as well. And I have my family, my brother. So I go to different kinds of people to get different perspectives. And that's how I try and see what resonates with me the most and figure out my own solution out of that.
What does a typical workday look like for you?
I already said it a little bit. So it's the opposite of a usual 9-to-5 workday, because I do have a little baby and my husband has, so to speak, a normal job, like 9-to-5 job. So my workday looks like I if I have, depending on how much I have to do, obviously, but I get up early in the morning, like 6, I work from 6 to 8, so then I can then shake hands with my husband and take on the baby again, and then he goes to work, and I take care of the baby, and that's when I do more social media and these kinds of things, whenever baby's sleeping, etc., and obviously I go to the park, I do all these things, and then once he's home again, I go on calls. I have either coaching clients or somebody I mentor or these kinds of things, right? Or just business friends that we support each other, yeah. And then also the weekends, right? I don't want to leave that out. I do work a lot on the weekends to prepare for the week ahead.
So I always like to ask the people that come in to chat with me if they can recommend a book or a podcast or a movie. What have you got?
I love all three categories.
Well, you can recommend all three if you want to.
Okay. So let's go with books and movies. For books, I have two. The one book that helped me so much in the beginning of my career was a book by Dr. Lois Frankel. It's called Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office. And
I love that title, by the way, but go ahead.
It is an amazing title. It's a little bit edgy. And it's not about being... She says it's not about being a nice girl, it's being a winning woman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the opposite for her, mm-hmm. so to speak. So this book helped me so much to understand some biases against women. I don't only work with women, but it helped me so much because I came in totally naive, really, mm-hmm. to this work world. And then in my private life, a little bit later, what I loved is Eckhart Tolle. I don't know if you know him. Is a German that I got to know in the US. I think he's way more popular here than in Germany. He's, I think, a spiritual teacher, you would call it. And he has written one book that I love, which is called A New World, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. So I love this one too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then for the movie section, also, so as you can see, my kind of growth theme is like everywhere represented. I just love it. And in the movie section, what I love is to grow and to laugh. So I really recommend the movie Yes Man with Jim Carrey. It's a really, really funny movie about a person. He is really depressed in the beginning, like probably most of the population is these days, and being like, I don't want to do that. No, I'd rather stay at home, watch TV, right? I don't want to go out. And then he, by accident, gets into this kind of religious kind of environment where they're like basically telling him to say yes to no matter what comes along. And he's basically so sarcastic that he's, okay, you know what? I just gonna say yes. So obviously the movie is gonna be super hilarious and he just says yes to the craziest things. But, you know, how those movies play out, in the end, everything comes together. There's synchronicities happening that he didn't know in the back end. And I just love it because it gives this perspective, and I think we say no way too often. I wouldn't say yes to everything, but I think overall, say a little bit more yes. I think it would help you have a happier and more fulfilled life.
Fela Rosa, thank you for joining me today on Sunshine Sisters. It's been a real treat to chat with you this morning.
Thank you so much, Karen.
You've been listening to Sunshine Sisters, Women Making an Impact in St. Petersburg today. My guest was Fela Rosa. She is a career growth and leadership coach, originally from Germany, who moved to downtown St. Petersburg 2 years ago. I'm Karen Carmichael.